Morning, if you will, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, if you would, and we'll look at some scripture, try to help you. Now, if you were in Sunday school, you got the preliminaries for the message, all right? Now, my son-in-law, who taught Sunday school, did not know that he was teaching the preliminaries, but he talked about a lot of that kind of lays some of the groundwork, and we'll repeat some of it too. But 1 Kings chapter 17, look if you will, beginning in verse 17. The Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need to hear from heaven today. Lord, in the midst of all that's going on in this old world, the confusion, the strife, the trouble, Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you'd use me today as your mouthpiece. Help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say. Speak to every heart, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's one thing in this world people love to do, they love to ask questions. I mean, love to ask questions. When I was a kid, there was a guy on TV, had a TV program. His name was Art Linkletter. Some of you are old enough to remember Art Linkletter. And he was famous for sitting down and just asking kids questions. And had a TV show just made around asking kids questions. And you say, well, wow, that was a long time ago. Yeah, well, the only difference is Dr. Phil does the same thing now, all right? He just asks adults questions. And the truth of the matter is you look at a lot of shows and a lot of radio programs, and it's just people questioning other folks and getting answers and talking about it. But one of man's very favorite questions is the question, why? Why? Kids ask that. You're a parent. You cannot even conceive of how many times you've had a child ask, why? Why? Employees do the same thing. Employer says do this or do that. Well, why? Students today in school. Why? Why do you give that assignment? We like that question. Be honest, we even ask God why. We ask God why. You see, there's things going on in this old world we don't grasp, we don't understand, and our question is, Lord, why? But I want to say this to you. We ask, but we don't always get satisfied what we consider to be a satisfactory answer. Have you ever tried to explain to your child why? Most of the time, if you do, you realize you should have just said, because I said so. Because it's impossible. You understand. You understand the why. But trying to get that across to a child whose mind doesn't have the background, doesn't have the facts, and doesn't control all those thoughts, to try to explain to them why you need to do it or why you need not to do that, they can't understand it. Did you ever think God has the same problem dealing with us? He who has an infinite mind, talking to you and I, a very finite mind, has a hard time. If he wanted to tell us why, we'd have a hard time grasping. But I look at our text this morning, and we have that the question doesn't come across exactly why, but in a sense, that's exactly what the widow of Zarephath is saying. It's really what she's saying here. So she's saying, why did God let this happen? So would you look at it with me, all right? Notice, first of all, the reason for the question in verse 17. Verse 17, it came to pass that after these things, well, what things? Well, everything that's happened before in this chapter, everything that's going on in the country, they're in the midst of a drought. It hasn't rained. Brooks are drying up. Things are getting scarce. It's getting tough to live. It's a difficult time, all right? And in the midst of the miraculous provision of God, a barrel that never ran empty, a cruse of oil that always had enough when you poured it. In the midst of that, hey, here's Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Man, they had been through it. Life wasn't easy. But just when it seemed that things were at least calming down, I mean, hey, the barrel's not overflowing, but every time we go, there's enough. Every time we go, there's enough. And we're able to eat. We're able to get by. So things are kind of calming down, and then the widow's son gets sick. And seemingly, he just got worse and worse. No matter what they could do, in spite of all their efforts, he died. Now, would you consider that situation a little bit? Here's this mother. To her, man, it just seemingly, maybe life was one trial after another. Notice she was when we get the beginning of this account, she was a widow. That means her husband had already passed away, all right? She had endured the stress of a dwindling supply of food, and now her son has died. Why? I mean, how much more could she be expected to take? You ever found yourself in that situation? Maybe you didn't come forth with the question, but you thought it. Or there have been other things, and you wonder, well, why? Why did God allow that? Why did that take place? Well, what's the reason? Look, if you will, in verse 18. I kind of say it. Here's sort of the heart behind this question. She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Hey, can I say this to you? As long as life was going along pretty well, that widow could respond to the message of truth. Could respond in faith. But when the circumstances changed, she changed. When the circumstances changed, she changed. Now, she began to do what we sometimes do. She began to look for somebody to blame. She began to look for somebody to point the finger at. He pointed the finger at Elijah. Man, I can almost hear the bitterness in her voice as she says, oh, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Hey, he forgot all the goodness. He forgot all the goodness of God that she had experienced, all the blessings that had been bestowed upon her. But now the question was, why? Why is this going on? Why is this happening to me? Why is this taking place? Well, I don't know about you, but I see that same kind of thing in so many people today. Suffering or grief, maybe sorrow. They cause people to forget what God has done. We forget God's blessing. And if we're not careful, anger begins to boil up in us. And if we don't deal with that anger, we get bitter. Bitterness develops in our soul. And that bitterness begins to come out and affect us. And if we're not careful, it overwhelms us and we have depression that sets in. And it becomes that situation where you think, why? Why'd you let this happen, God? Why'd you let this go on? Now, can I say this to you? If you're going to go on in life, you've got to learn to deal with that. If you're going to go on in life, you've got to learn to work through your sorrow, your grief, your suffering, your aggravation, if you will, or whatever it is that's going on, you've got to learn to work through those things. You need to get a grasp of the fact that God does know and does see what is best for you and I. Now, here's the problem. We can't see from His perspective. We see from our perspective. We look at it and we think, not right. But if you came to God and you were to ask God to explain our finite mind, where we could even understand it, could we grasp and wrap our minds around that situation? Could we handle it if He explained it? I'm not sure. Listen, take your Bible, if you will. We'll come back to 1 Kings, but look, if you will, in Job chapter 1, would you? Look at Job chapter 1. The book of Job chapter 1, I just want you to see one verse. If there's one person that went through it and had the problems, Job had them. Man, he lost his family. He lost his fortune. He lost his health. If anybody could have been justified in getting bitter and getting angry at God, he could have. But I want you to notice what he said in Job chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible said, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, there is a reason for what we are called upon to endure. There is a reason. Now, we may not see that reason. And the truth of the matter is, if we were allowed into it and were asked, "Now, do you understand?" probably a lot of the time we'd say, "No, I don't." We couldn't grasp the overall situation. I'll remind you, there is a God in heaven, and that God in heaven is in control. And He always does what's best. If you're His child, now, we just sang that song, "I'm a child of the King." I am a child of that King. I know Him. I was born into the family of God years ago. And I've learned what it is to walk with Him and enjoy being His child. But I don't always understand why He does what He does. But I always realize He's God. I'm not. He knows much better than I know. There's a reason. And God calls upon me to trust Him. Now I want you to go back to 1 Kings. That's the situation the widows come to. Elijah said, "Look, here you are, you know, I'm kind of aggravated at you. You've called and you've slain my son. What are you going to do about it?" I want you to see the response of the man of God, would you? Would you look at verse 19? He said unto her, "Give me thy son. Give me thy son." What do you see it? Elijah was willing to take the widow's burden and make it his own. Make it his own. Said, you give me your son. Give him to me. He didn't panic in the face of trouble. He knew what to do. He was patient with this widow. He didn't unwind on her. He didn't jump on her and say, what's wrong with you, woman? Do you forget that meal, that barrel of meal that hasn't run out for days and days and days? He didn't do that. He was patient with her. He took the problem to the Lord in prayer. Took the problem to the Lord in prayer. And I say this to you, there is never a wrong time to pray. Never a wrong time to pray. To be honest with you, sometimes that's all we can do. That is just it. I mean, all we can do is our hands are limited, our arms are short. Our ability is severely restricted, but we can pray. We can pray, and that's what Elijah did. Elijah went to God. He prayed privately. I believe this. I believe our best praying is usually done privately. Privately. See, sometimes when we pray publicly, we worry too much about how it sounds. We worry too much about, does this sound good? Amen. When you're by yourself and you're asking and pleading with God, you're not worrying about how it sounds. You're worrying about getting results. You want the ear of God. You want Him to hear you. We do that praying privately. But notice, boldly. Look at the boldness of Elijah. Look at that boldness as he prayed. O Lord, he says in verse 20, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn? By slaying her son? Can you imagine saying that to God? There's the boldness of Elijah. But wait a minute. Our Bible says you and I, who are His child, can come boldly under the throne of grace so we can get mercy and we can obtain help, all right? We're to come boldly. That's the way we're to come, all right? He prayed in a specific way. Because there was a specific need. A specific need. It wasn't, Lord, could you just help us here in some generalized way? No, man, it was a specific prayer. He said, let this child's soul come unto him again. Let this child's soul come unto him. And can I say that's the way you pray? You pray specifically because there's specific needs. Specific needs. You and I ought to learn to pray that way. Let me say this to you, all right? When you're dealing with people that are grieving, don't be afraid to show up. Don't be afraid to show up. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've been in my car going to someone's house because there's been a tragedy. And I'm thinking, because I'm human, Lord, I got no idea what to say. But I just want you to know this. Sometimes what they need is not your brilliant words. People just need you. They just need you there. They just need you maybe to slip an arm around them and say, man, I love you, and I am brokenhearted. I share your grief today. Now, don't say that if you're lying, all right? Or not to lie to people. But don't worry so much about the words. People need to know you care. They need to know you're there for them. There's, and by the way, a lot of times the best thing to do is not necessarily say anything. It's just, I'm here. I'm here. I'll do whatever you need. But boy, you ought to pray to God. But then I want you to notice what God does. To be honest with you, I preached to you the first 3 points of the message. If you weren't counting, we've just had 3, right? We've got 2 more. But I preached the 3 to get to these 2. All right? I want you to look, if you will, in verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. Why did that happen? Because God had touched Elijah in such a way that he was a healer of men? No. No. This was simply the power of God on display. It was God's power. God's power at work. It was what God did because Elijah prayed. He cared. You see, God's power turned a trial into a blessing. Can I say this to you? You may go through some problems in life. You may run into some trials. You may run into some situations, some circumstances, whatever you want to call them, and you're thinking, why? Well, if you'll hang in there a little bit, God turned that trial into a blessing. You'll learn to go to Him in prayer. Man, what a blessing it brought. You see, trials can be a source of blessing. I don't see how possibly can. Hey, the trial of surgery can bring health. But you have to go through the trial of surgery before you're healthy again. Now, most of you folks know, man, just a few months ago I started having problems, didn't really know what it was, didn't know what was giving me the problem. Man, I'd come up here and preach, and when I could barely get through a 30-minute message, sometimes 20 minutes. Some of you think, oh, for the good old days. But man, I could only make it that long, and I could barely, honestly, barely stand here through the invitation time. And then as soon as I called on somebody to pray, I'd sit down, and I'd be there 15 minutes before I could leave. Hey, I want to tell you that was a trial. Man, I began to worry, Lord, is this the way it's going to be? There's nothing I enjoy doing more than I enjoy preaching. God called me to preach. And I love being a preacher. I love preaching. Love being a pastor. I wondered, is that going to be? Oh man, numerous doctor visits and a lot of medicine and shots and all of that. Thank God I'm feeling better. But I want to tell you this, nothing makes you appreciate your health like health troubles. Those of you who have never, you know, those people say, never been sick. Never been sick. Never spent a day in the hospital. Good for you. But I'm not sure you know how to appreciate the health you have, all right? Maybe you do. Hey, but the trial of surgery can bring a blessing. Can bring a blessing. I'll tell you this, the trial of Calvary yielded our salvation in Jesus Christ. It's what He went through on Calvary that allows us to have the free gift of salvation. Hey, that trial brought a blessing. Look, listen, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, way over in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul testified to this fact we're just talking about, all right? In Philippians chapter 1, if I can find Philippians. Here it is, all right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Here's the testimony of Paul. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Paul said, hey, the trials that I've endured, they've been a blessing. They've been a blessing. It's fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Said that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have endured the trials that I endured. Hey, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 there in the New Testament. I want you to notice what the scripture says, would you? Look, our trials oftentimes serve to draw us closer to the Lord. As we begin to seek comfort and strength, they draw us closer to Him. For 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Oh, what a blessing. Why? The trial of our faith. The trial of our faith. James chapter 1 verse 2 says this, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hey, those trials, God can turn them into a blessing through His power. Through His power. There's joy in it. There's a man who don't see how there could be any joy in that. Let God take you through a few of them. You'll find out how it can be. You'll find out how it can be. Go back with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. I want you to notice the last verse in this chapter. What a testimony this verse is. And the woman, now in verse 23, Elijah brings her son to her. He was alive. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman in verse 24 said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Boy, do you grasp what's said here? Now I know. Now I know that thou art a man of God. Wait a minute. This is the Elijah, and she knows. She's heard this. Look, the whole country knew it by name. She knows he's the one that told Ahab, hey, it's not going to rain till I say it's going to rain. Sure enough, hadn't a drop of rain fell. Now this same Elijah shows up at her house weeks, maybe months later, and says, how you doing? Could you get me something to drink? She goes to get it, and as she's going to get it, he said, oh, by the way, could you fix me a little cake so I could eat, have something to eat too? And that woman says, look, I'm gathering sticks. All it's going to take is two. And I'll have enough, and I've got just enough meal in the barrel and just enough oil in that cruse, and I'm going to mix it, and with those two sticks, I'll have enough fire to cook all I can fix out of the meal and the oil that I've got, and my son and I are going to eat it, and we are going to die. He said, understand, darling, but just fix me one first. And she did. And she did. And the Bible said that meal barrel never wasted away and that cruse never went empty. But that's not when she said, now I know. No. You see, you listen to me, because I want you to get this, Christian. There's a world out there looking at us. They're not a bit impressed with your claim to be a child of God. That doesn't impress them. They don't care. Doesn't make any difference to them. But they are watching you to see how you are going to react when the trials come. How are you going to handle the trouble in life? Hey, everybody enjoys the sunshine. We'll sing in the sunshine. We'll laugh every day. We'll sing in the sunshine. And I'll be on my way. And for those of you not old enough, that used to be a very famous song. But let me say this to you. We can all sing in the sunshine. But bless God, what do you do when the sun ain't shining? How do you handle that? How do you view it when that's what happens? The trials come, the trouble overwhelms you. And I mean, it seems like you're going to be just absolutely buried. Hey, does your faith, how does it handle? You see, it doesn't take much faith to walk with God in fair weather. Doesn't require much faith to walk with Him. When everything is rosy, when the paycheck's coming in, when you're healthy, there's no trouble. The kids are doing well. There's no problem. But how do you handle it when the trouble comes? How do you react then? That's what the world is looking for. Is your faith going to take you through that? Is your faith going to do it? I want to give just a little testimony. Ms. Wilson, I don't believe you'll mind me saying this. But I remember a few years ago getting a phone call. Going to Peter Smith Hospital. And waiting in there. And having the nurse come out and say he didn't make it. Ms. Wilson's grandson was in a terrible accident. It took his life. Boy, that was tough. Old Ken was a young guy in his 20s, full of life. There's only one Ken Wilson. Let me say this, all right? There was only one like him. But I want to say this to you. It was after Ken's death that Ken's grandpa said, I want to go to that church. I want to see what made him the way he was. I want to watch. I want to see it. And Mr. Kenneth, that's what he was always known as to me up until that time. Mr. Kenneth started coming to church. And he called me preach. Said, preach. And that's what he called me. I remember the day I got another phone call. Went by his house. Sat at his kitchen table. And took my New Testament. And opened it. And showed him what made the difference for his grandson. What changed his life. By the way, what got his kids and his wife through the death of that grandson? That faith that stood the test of trouble. And I had the privilege of hearing Mr. Kenneth bow, pray, and ask God to save his soul. Brother, that was worth it. I've said this before, I'll say it as long as I live. I believe Ken Wilson would have been willing to die for his grandpa to get saved. I believe it. Hey, I want to tell you something. Trials are difficult. I don't go looking for them. I don't go wishing for one. I never remember thinking, oh, if we could just have a trial. We could just have a great problem. No. But when they come, You need to get the benefit that's available. When they come, you need to let the world see that your faith is better than just on Sunday days. That your faith will take you through the trial. It can get you through. You let God work His perfect plan for your life. You let God pour out on you the blessing that can only come sometimes through trials. And you be the witness for our Lord that you ought to be. So people look at you and say, well, there's more to that than I ever thought there was. I'll be honest with you. It's easy to sing when the sun's shining. I guarantee it is. It's easy to do that. It's easy to sing when everything's going our way. You and I as God's people ought to be able to sing when the sun ain't shining. We ought to live so people see us and say, what you've got's real. There's a lot of people who got a lot of faith. But how about your faith? Get you through the test. Get you through the trial. It should, if it's real. If it's real. Would you stand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? We get ready for an invitation time. Look, maybe there's a trial in your life. You may be enduring it right now. Maybe there's one that's going on, and the truth of the matter is you've gotten a little bit bitter. You need to come to God. You need to realize and let Him know, Lord, I know You know what's best. You know what's best. Let God do His work in your life. He's got to use the trial, let Him do it. Those trials come, you take it, and you come out with a shining testimony for the goodness of God. That be your testimony. Our Heavenly Father, I pray You would deal with each one of us today. Lord, the widow of Zarephath went through a trial. Lord, she got a little bitter. She forgot the goodness that You had shown. Lord, sometimes we do the same thing. Lord, I pray You would help us this morning. Help us see the truth of the Scripture. Lord, I pray our faith change us. Deal with us now. If folks need to come, You help them to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning, page 392, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hey, if God's speaking to you, would you come? God's dealing with you, would you come this morning and do business with Him? Come on, while we sing. Come on.